Fargo.
What? Oh, you do? Well, you should start there to start with.
He is risen. Happy Easter to you. I do want to tell you, if you know where to look in the internet, you can see Jake Maxwell's beard coming off.
That's funny.
And there's a couple of pictures in there that scare you. He stopped at very interesting places. Mutton chops come to mind if you know of those kinds of things from another year. All right. On the left side of the board, from where I sit on your right side, is the address for the website where we have lessons. We are following up to a lesson we had last week. And without going too far back, I want to go far enough back to remind you, we ended up talking about Jesus' answer to the question, what is the greatest commandment in the law? We're in Exodus. We just looked at the Ten Commandments. And we're looking now at Jesus' reply to that question. When you put the whole of the Gospels together, you get a clear answer, I think. What is the great commandment in the law? The answer starts with, there's not one, there's three. In the main part of the Gospels, you hear two. In the upper room with his disciples, Jesus gives the third one. What's the first one?
Love the Lord
with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. What's the second? Love your neighbor as yourself. What's the third one?
Love each other.
And we worked last time a bit starting into the question of how do you love each other. We ended up with three questions. If you look at the context in which Jesus gave that answer, or when Jesus approved the answer being given by someone else, what you find is there were some pretty interesting statements made. Jesus made the first one. On these commandments hangs all the law and the prophets. The law and the prophets was the whole of the Old Testament. Everything God has been trying to say to his people hangs in these three commandments. The second thing was somebody who quoted this, Jesus approved. And the comment the man made was, doing these things that are commanded in these three commandments is better than sacrifices and burnt offerings. The third time you see this written, it leads into the story of the Good Samaritan, because somebody was questioning Jesus, well, who is my neighbor? And Jesus told that story. At the end of that story, Jesus asked, which one in the story do you think, which of those three, the two that passed by or the Good Samaritan, was neighbor to the man who was hurt? And the fellow couldn't even say Samaritan. He just said the one who ministered to him. Jesus then said something very important. What did he say? You go and do the same thing. And so what we've been trying to work on is, what do those three statements mean coming together? This week, we're going to work mostly on the question of loving one another. We began that last time. If you want to go back and listen, you can hear that. But today, I want to explore that a little bit further. So, what does it mean to love one another? And what I want to do is I want to put up some scripture verses, and as we consider those, let's see what we can learn from them. I'm hoping one of these will work well enough. So,
I think it's a left one here, Bill.
It's a little better. Hebrews 10:25. In honor of my mother, I'm going to ask for a volunteer to read this one. James 5:16. Do you remember the sign that says plan ahead?
Yeah.
And the D sort of fits down below? I started out not planning ahead. I've got a lot more scripture than I've got room for down here, so we'll see what I do. Somebody want to volunteer for this one? Corinthians 13:11. Volunteer. I saw Eugene next. There's one. Colossians 3:17. Notice the dot. We're going to do those two together. Galatians 6:1. Oh, bless you. Actually, I'll keep this up here. This is my part. Galatians 6:1. I'll look over this one, Kitty. And at this moment, Colossians 3:16. We're going to let Leonard look at that one again. Keep you home, right? Now we have Galatians 6:2-5.
I'll do that.
No, we're going to let Kitty do that because she's already found number one. Okay.
All right.
This is getting too complicated. Galatians 5:22.
Can I have that one?
You can have that one.
I got it all out of the way.
Philippians 4:4-9. I hate life. I've been spelling it incorrectly all this time. There is a dot here. We have perfect. Thessalonians 5:14-18. Volunteers. John 8:32. Craig. And John 14:16-17. Kim?
Yeah.
Take you through that one. And then Ephesians 4:30 and 1 Thessalonians 5:19. I'm going to do those because those are at the end. Okay. What's the subject that we are exploring? How do we love one another? If we can figure that out, maybe we can do the other two. Where does our love for others come from? It comes from God's love given to us and then passed on. Very early, God said to Abraham, I'm blessing you so that through you all the peoples of the earth can be blessed. This is one of those pathways that God uses. His love comes to us, and his love then overflows as we give that love away to others, neighbors and others. The truth is, we could probably use this for neighbors or for others, but I think it fits for one another better. How do we love one another? Each time, I'm going to ask you to see if you can tell me what this verse means or what it tells us in this context. So, let us begin. Rita.
Okay. This is in the middle of a sentence, but not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near.
What does that tell you about how you love one another? Please understand, there is a very specific meaning that Jesus gave in the upper room. He was talking about Christian brothers and sisters showing love to other Christian brothers and sisters. This is not just random somebody on the street. This is showing love inside the body. How do you do that? What's the first principle?
Encouragement.
And fellowship.
Assembly.
Okay. Anything else? I heard one more word and I didn't get it there.
Uplifting. Please, uplifting is another different kind of way that someone's down uplift. But I guess it's
assembly.
The same thing.
I tell my students, in fact, I told them this week, it's interesting to try to think about how gases behave. It's very interesting to think about how gases behave. We have what we call the ideal gas law, and there is no ideal gas. There isn't one. All the gases we have, they don't work. But get them hot enough and get them to where they have low enough pressure, almost everything will. you start putting pressure on them, you start lowering the temperature, they start to not work like gases anymore. What's the essence of gas? Molecules behaving totally independently. I'm over here and I don't care about you, and I just go flying by you. What's the essence of liquids and solids? They come together, right? They come together. That's what this one's talking about. You're not going to make connections if you don't come together. You go flying by one another fast enough, don't even notice. I tell them a story about driving on a road in Texas. This is a true story. Speed limit was 75. How fast was I going? 79. I'm not an idiot. Those roads. Way off in the distance, because this road was very flat and very straight, I saw a spot. And within a few moments, the spot began to grow. There's an old joke. I couldn't understand why the ball was getting bigger, and then it hit me. The spot grew. It took on character. It was red. Within a very, very, very short period of time, I observed the following. It was a red car, not a truck. It was a sports car. It was a convertible sports car. It was driven by someone with long hair, blonde hair, female, stunning. Whoa! How fast was I going?
79.
She was going close to 100. What was our combined rate of approach? Nearly 180 miles an hour. Okay? Whatever attractive forces might have had some chance of working had no chance of working as we passed at those speeds. That's what gas molecules do. That's what gas molecules do. Okay? The admonition is simple. Don't skip the opportunities for coming together. Because by coming together, all sorts of wonderful things happen. Number one of which is you encourage each other. It's almost, not quite, almost automatic that you'll encourage one another. And if you're not present, you can't encourage and you can't be encouraged. Don't stay away from church. I like the fun you guys have. I like the fact that it's work to tame you. Is that the way you said it this morning? Okay. James 5:16, Paul, would you read that for us?
Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective.
Number one was connect with each other. What's this one?
Pray
for each other. But there's something at the front end of this verse. Confess. What does it say?
Confess.
Now, I'm going to expand that a little bit, and it's not quite right, but it is in keeping with what you'd find in some other places in Scripture. Share enough, warts and all, so that the prayers are informed. When people pray with you, that they know enough. I will tell you right now, there is a struggle going on. There's a struggle going on. How much do we share in prayer times? Allison knows about this. Leonard knows about this, and I know about this, because we're talking about it. You don't need to know everything. You want to, maybe, but you don't need to. But you need to know enough. You need to know that Joe is not at peace, and we need to pray that he would be at peace. The details of how that manifests itself, you probably don't need to know. You need to know there's a health crisis, and you need to know how serious it is, because you can't pray properly if you don't know. But you may not need to know which organ. You might need to know ICU as opposed to a regular room. You might need to know, let's not all go and visit. Let me steal a page from the very brief comments my brother gave me just a few minutes ago. Page says, there's a stack of cards, and I think he held his fingers apart this far. You just can't understand what it feels like day after day to have something tangible to hold that tells me one of you. We've talked earlier in the week, probably at moments like that, you can't talk to everybody. But you can hear from the ones that do that. Those of you who sent cards this week and those of you who are so faithful about that, that's a good thing to do. That's a good thing to do. Pray for each other and share enough, warts and all, so that such prayers can be informed. And we're going to read two things before we go to the next one. That's, what was the first one? Connect with each other so that thereby you can encourage each other. What's the second one?
Pray
for each other. And if you're one of those being prayed, share enough so that people can pray in an informed way. Okay? Yeah. Okay, so 2 Corinthians 13, Lou Jean, and then...
Bill.
I'm sorry, I didn't
the
get...
The last sentence of that verse really stands out.
This is James?
Yeah, the James. The prayer of a righteous man has great power in its effect.
I should have said more about that. If you think prayer has little power... You haven't been in this room long enough. Some of you are pretty good at this. Okay, Lou Jean.
The final greetings at the end of 2 Corinthians. Finally, brothers, goodbye. Aim for perfection. Listen to my appeal. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you.
Be of one mind and live in peace. Okay? Leonard? Verse 17 this time.
Colossians 3:17. And whatever, which is italicized, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through him.
Eugene, can you read yours one more time, or did you put it away? One more time.
Finally, brothers, goodbye. Aim for perfection. Listen to my appeal. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And God of love and peace will be with you.
There it is. There it is. Jerry, I almost missed the last part of that other one. Okay. What did you hear? The process of becoming one with each other. The process of becoming at peace with one another. That process takes work. But what's the outcome of that process? We are all mutually encouraged and God's presence comes in. Okay? What was the first one? You're going to get this before this day is over. Connect with one another. What's the second one? Pray for one another. What's this one? Work with one another towards unity. Work with one another towards unity. Now, this last one, as long as we're here, why? Because nothing brings God's presence more powerfully than that. Okay? Galatians 6:1, Kitty?
Okay. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Look to yourself, lest you too be tempted.
Colossians 3:16, Leonard.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord.
I'm picking up on this verse, teaching and admonishing. I got a teacher in the room, right, Kitty?
Yes.
There's a difference between teaching and admonishing, right?
Yes.
Okay. What's? Have you been admonished?
Yes.
Let me tell you the most recent time I got admonished. It was about 3 weeks ago. I'm still irritated. We're giving away hundreds of thousands of dollars at the university. And our purpose is to try to bring kids in who can take absolute full advantage of the education that we offer so that others who come will have seeds of crystallization that we can build a community of people who are focused on getting an education. We are using that money to invest in the lives of people that we think can really, really show how that's done. And in that process, bring others along further than they might not have been. Okay? In that process, I'm supposed to read all these things about some of these applicants, and then I'm supposed to rank them. And I was told in my group I had to use a 5-point scale. 5 was good, 1 was the bottom. Now, these are all good, that's pretty tough. So I came in, and I had some grades were five, and some were fours, and some were threes. Some were 3.5, and some were 4.5. The person leading the committee looks at me and says, "You are not allowed to use fractions." I was thoroughly admonished. Thoroughly admonished. 3 weeks goes by. We're now down to the point where we're interviewing these students. And when the interview is over, we're supposed to do this voting again, so to speak, or this ranking again. Okay? We walk into the room to do the final rankings. And people are sharing their rankings. The person who admonished me, I was recording, turned to her and said, What about this student? I think I'm going to have to go with a 3.5. Followed quickly by, there's just no other way to really, you need to go sort of in between the numbers to really do this right. And it was as if they didn't remember. Okay. Now, why am I saying that? Partly because it's funny.
Because you feel good about it.
Yeah. Partly because there comes a point of vindication. I wanted to admonish back, and it wasn't going to do any good. Okay. Listen carefully. Did you hear the first of these verses? If one of you is overtaken in a fault, what's the community supposed to do? Counsel.
Restore.
It will say in other places in Scripture, do your best to restore. I think recognizing it doesn't always happen. And do that in a spirit of gentleness, recognizing you too could get caught up in something. How do you word this one? What was the first one? Connect with it. You don't have it yet. Connect with each other. Be present at the times that we assemble. What's the second one? Pray for each other and share enough so when people pray for you, they'll know what they're doing. What's the third one? Work with each other towards unity because that brings God's presence. What's this one? How do we say this? Here's the way I suggest. Watch out for each other. Watch out for each other. The buzzword now, and it's not just cliche, it's actually pretty good, is mutual accountability. Have someone that you're accountable to, and you be part of holding others accountable, because otherwise, we're going to get in trouble. We're going to get in big trouble. Watch out for each other. Intervene when necessary, but the way you do that is not condemning. It is attempting to restore.
Bill,
yeah.
I think that is a point is addressed there in the beginning of my 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. We have to be immersed in the word and have the word of Christ flowing through our lives.
Yeah, this is not something we're going to do on our own power and in our own
right.
Thinking.
We can watch out for each other, but we have to have the word flowing into and through our lives.
Connect with each other, pray for each other, work towards unity with each other, watch out for each other. Is this list getting interesting?
Mm-hmm.
How do we love each other? That's what we're trying to talk about. So here goes the next one. Kitty, you're back on, not 2 through 5. I want you to read 2 and 5. Don't start yet. I want you guys to listen for what sounds like a contradiction. I'm hoping I have the right verses.
Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ.
That's verse 2.
Verse 5. For each man will have to bear his own load.
3 verses apart. You hear a conflict? What's the first one say?
Bear
one another's burdens. What's the fifth one? What does verse 5 say? You carry your own.
Isn't that what it's talking about?
Now, those of you who have been immersed in the Spirit, I think you can figure out what this means. What does this mean?
Well, the second one means you're doing what your job to your best ability. That's verse 5. You know, we're responsible. God gives us a job to do. We're supposed to do our very best.
Okay.
And but the two is that we look out for each other and help each other anyway.
Okay. Well, that starts it. That starts it.
But we do our very best, but if we stumble, we have to realize that we are personally accountable for when we stumble. Not only do we do our best, but when we stumble, the groom should help. Yeah. But I'm accountable to the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Can you feel the tension in this verse?
You're not guilty about
these verses. How can you put this together?
I had to answer this question in seminary this term.
Did you pass?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then we can listen.
Verse 2, we need to, the strong in the faith need to sustain, uphold the weak, help one another, bear with one another, but yet know in verse 5, even though we do that, we are all accountable to Christ for what we do or don't do.
I think that's got it. I think there's danger in thinking I'm the strong one. And I think somewhere in there, yeah.
Well, what about while carrying your own burden, you also need
help? I think that catches half of it. I help other people, but I don't let other people help me.
Yeah.
And I think there's a pitfall. This one is tough, but I think it's also vital that you try to see what the Spirit's saying. If you listen carefully, I think what it says is do what you can to carry your own load. And then watch out around you. If there's somebody stumbling, you can help. There are times when situations may arise where I can't carry my load and you can't carry your load. But if we link arms, maybe we can both carry the loads we have. Somewhere there, I think, is a piece of what this talks about. I think this says, to the extent you can, carry your own load and help the others around you when they're stumbling. And when you stumble, don't be so proud that you don't let somebody help.
Bill?
Yeah?
I don't know why it's even. I envision a bunch of Legos. Pretend you're a Lego and you have your own job. But yet you might be the support for the next person and the next strong person. You can't be the support for the next one either. And the one that's under you is the stacked Lego that can also support you.
Have you seen the physics contests that they have? They had one at the Science Museum maybe 6 months ago where you build an apparatus, drop an egg from the top of the dome at the Science Museum, and if it doesn't break, then okay, you get one of those that goes into the next round, okay? And you have to make it out of, I forget what it was, ice cream sticks or something like that, right? Ice cream sticks by themselves can't carry much load, especially if they're made out of balsa wood, which I think was the other thing they put on it. One of those contests they had was build a bridge and then just start putting weights on top of the bridge and see how the bridge holds up under it. It's amazing how, if you sort of fit them together.
We recently saw an arch, and it's made out of individual sheet stuff. And you couldn't, you know, how do you get them to stay up there? There was nothing holding them in place except just connecting the two or
the one. Yeah.
But it was perfect.
Help each other with their load, but do your best to carry your own load. Okay.
Like part of that one too, just kind of self-centered if you don't help anybody else.
Self-centeredness sort of goes out the window on 4 or 5 of these, if you're watching. Pride goes out the window on 4 or 5 of these. If you see a brother stumble, restore them. But do that in a spirit of gentleness, recognizing you too could get caught up in things. If you think, well, I'd never get caught by that, and then you try, the attitude's all wrong. Attitude's hiding in here, and the attitude of self-centeredness, I think, gets thrown out two or three places. Yeah, that's sort of the opposite side. I'm in such bad shape, I can't help anybody else. Sometimes helping somebody else is the process to start to getting yourself back in shape.
Sometimes we just don't see the thing in ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, we just don't see it. But somebody else can see it, and we kind of need that someone to point it out to us.
That's the word intervene from number four. Someone who points it out is not necessarily your enemy.
No.
Right. Galatians 5:22 is Jamie at last.
Come on, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
And the next sentence says, and you don't seek legislators making laws about these kinds of things. Okay. Philippians 4:4 through 9. These are the long passages that we're going to be dealing with.
Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you.
And then 1 Thessalonians 5, Todd.
We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus.
Did you guys hear the echo of teach and admonish hiding in this last one? Read just the first little bit, Tom.
We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly.
Now the next one.
Encourage the faint-hearted.
Now the next one.
Help the weak.
And the final one.
Be patient with everyone.
Okay. What's the hard job? Knowing who's who. Who needs admonishing and who needs encouraging? And what was the last one?
Patience.
Everybody needs patience.
Be patient.
It's sometimes hard to tell who needs it. There's a Calvin and Hobbes cartoon. Do you guys know enough? They've been gone for 20 years. You remember Calvin and Hobbes? Okay. Calvin is sitting at a big box. Hobbes is by his side. Across the box is a giant sign. The sign says, a swift kick in the rear end, $1. And Calvin says to Hobbes, I just don't understand why we have no business. Everybody I know needs what we're selling. Some people need a swift kick in the can. Some people need something else. Knowing which one is which is the heart of that one. So, you just heard three very long passages. Can you put them together? How do we love one another? Can you put these together? In the interest of time, let me offer you something. Cultivate God's qualities in your own life and help others with that process as much as you can. Cultivate God's qualities in your own life. That's the first two. And then this last one, I think, picks up on help others with that process as much as you can. John 8:32, Craig.
Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
John 14:16 and 17.
And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you.
What's this one? This, by the way, is number 7, and 7 of something is often an awfully good number.
Rely on the Spirit for guidance.
Rely was the verb you chose. Others? I used the verb allow. Allow the Spirit to do His work among us. I'm using a plural, not a singular. Not allow the Spirit to do His work in me, but us collectively, allowing the Spirit to do His work in us collectively. The key to that last part is in our last two verses. Ephesians 4:30. Who has that one?
You.
Oh, I do. and I had forgotten. Ephesians 4:30. I'm going to get both of these out in front of us, and then we'll work together. Ephesians 4:30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, who has marked you with His seal, ready for the day when we shall be set free. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Do not stifle the Spirit. Now, if you've looked those two verses up, do you have other words than grieve and stifle? Quench, I think, is at least one translation in place of stifle.
Bring sorrow, too.
Bring sorrow instead of grieve. What does it mean? Now remember, what are we talking about? We're number 7, allow the Spirit to do His work among us. Rely on the Spirit to do His work among us. I think the two verbs together are better than either one alone. But I think both bring an aspect to it. Don't grieve the Spirit. Don't stifle or quench the Spirit. Two very different aspects. What's the first one? Do not grieve the Spirit. What does that mean? Some of you have been in here a while, and this is not the first time I've talked about this, and it won't be the last. We're hitting big, big scriptures this morning, and I hope you recognize that. These are organizing scriptures, the ones that sort of give you the sense of where the bones are, where the central anchoring spots are in Scripture. Do not grieve the Spirit. What you do that the Spirit is trying to tell you not to do, that grieves the Spirit. What you do individually and collectively that the Spirit is trying to tell you not to do, that grieves the Spirit. Can you catch what the other one then is? Stifle or quench the Spirit? What is that going to mean? Not doing what the Spirit is leading you to do, that's stifling or quenching. Put the two together. What did Paul say? I find myself constantly doing the things I know I shouldn't do. I find myself not doing the things I know I ought to do. Who's going to free me from this body of death? And Christ is the only one who can. Allowing the Spirit to do His work in us means listening to know which one is which. Comments or questions? What was number 1?
Connect
with each other. What was number 2?
Pray.
Pray for each other and share enough, not every detail, share enough to where the prayers can be informed. Number 3? Work together towards unity. Why?
Because
that more than anything brings God's presence into the community. Number 4?
Watch
out for each other and intervene when you have to. Number 5? Number 5? Do what you can. Do your part. Help other people when they need help. And the unwritten corollary is accept help when you need help. Do what you can to carry your own load. Help each other with their loads when you can. Number 6? Number 6? Cultivate God's qualities in your life. And help others with that process as much as you can. What's the last one?
Allow
the Spirit to work. Rely on the Spirit to work. And in that process, don't grieve the Spirit. Don't quench the Spirit. Let's have a word of prayer as we go. Our Father, we thank you for your time among us. We thank you for your constant presence with us. On this day of all days, we thank you for the gift of your Son. We pray that you would help us to be more like your Son. And help us help each other in that process. Help us be wise and to know the right things to do. Help us be aware and accessible and responsive. And help us remember to follow up. For all this, we pray in your Son's name. Amen.